Once again, thank you for those who helped us with the music. Appreciate Christy taking a shot at the keyboard this evening. Nice to know you haven't forgotten everything Mom taught you. That's nice to know. Nice to know. Let's look to the Lord in prayer again, shall we? We do thank you, Father, for the time tonight. As we are gathered here tonight, we're thinking of the subject of choices. We make choices every day, Lord. Some are good choices, some are foolish choices. And I just pray as we take another look at a scriptural choice that one was given and made, pray that you would speak to our hearts. We wait on you, we look to you and thank you. In your name I pray, amen. And Andrew, let's call this one, I think I have it on. You were wiggling your tie like I'm not hearing you, but I understand you're trying to get some breath in there, that dumb rope around the neck, anyway. Let's call this one a wise choice, or was it? A wise choice, or was it? This is our third of a short series, and we'll probably end it in a couple more weeks or so. I told you this was a short one, but we've looked at different ways. There are different examples of choices that individuals made. 2 weeks ago in Genesis chapter 3, we saw a critical choice. And we saw that Adam foolishly chose to go against what he knew was right. Eve was deceived, and Paul wrote that to Timothy. But Adam went into it with his eyes wide open. He knew he was doing the wrong thing, and how we have all suffered because of that one choice Abraham made. Because we are born with a sin nature, thanks to the choice that Adam made to eat that forbidden fruit. Then the last time that we were together, we saw the tragedy of Lot's choice. Was it a wise choice? He and his uncle couldn't get along because they both had so many flocks, herdsmen. The land was not able to support them. And it was Abraham that said, you know, this is no good. Our men are fighting against each other. That's always a race to see who can get their flocks to the field or to the water hole first. We need to divide. And so Abraham told Lot, I'm going to give you first choice. If you go to the left, then I'll go to the right and we'll divide up, go to different regions of the countryside. Or if you want the right, then I'll take the left. And we saw that Lot, instead of letting his uncle, because of respect for his elder, should have just said, no, uncle, it's not right that I do first. Why don't you? And then I'll take what's left. But that wasn't Lot's way of thinking. It says that he looked at the land, the Jordan Valley. It was well watered. It was compared, according to the passage of Scripture, it was compared to the Garden of Eden. It was so lush, green, plenty of food for years to come for the livestock, and Lot said, I want that one. And he took it. Abram went the other way. But we saw Lot began a downward step. First, it says that he moved in the direction of Sodom. The next thing we saw was he was in the city of Sodom. He didn't stay content just being in the same neighborhood. He wanted to move on into the city. The last look that we saw of him, he was sitting at the gate of Sodom, a respected leader of the city. How could that be? As Peter tells us, this righteous man was vexed in his soul every day regarding the lifestyle of Sodom. And I told you last week, I don't have an answer for that one. I don't have an answer for him, but the tragedy of the terrible choice that Lot, moving his family, growing up in that kind of an atmosphere and mentality, that when Lot and his unmarried daughters had escaped for their lives and were in a mountain cave, the girls decided, let's make Dad drunk and let's both get pregnant from Dad. I'll do it tonight and you do it tomorrow night. What a tragedy, because that's the kind of place Lot chose to raise his family, that saw nothing wrong with that kind of a lifestyle. Tonight, we move on. And we want to look at a wise choice. Or was it? Tonight, I want us to look at Solomon. And let's begin the background of our story in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And we find here, by way of a background of this story, David had recently died, and Solomon had just received the kingdom before his father died. That was one of the things that David took care of before the Lord ended his life, made sure that Solomon sat on the throne after his death. After his father died, it tells us that as we begin here, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, took Pharaoh's daughter, brought her into the city of David, till he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Those were places that previously had been places of idolatry. And the king, Solomon, went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. We find that Gideon, according to 1 Chronicles, you don't need to write to check this out, but in 1 Chronicles 21:29, Gibeon was the place where the tabernacle and the altar of the Lord was located. At this time, God's people were still worshiping with that mobile, portable tabernacle that had gone with them all the years in their wilderness journeys. That's still what they had. 3 Kings later, not only the priests and the prophets, but the prophets, priests, now we're the third Solomon, David, Saul, David, and Solomon. And still, we see that Gibeon, if you really wanted to get close to the Lord, you would go to Gibeon. because that's where the tabernacle was constructed, and that's where people went to connect with the Lord and offer sacrifices. Now, in Gibeon, verse 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." What do you want, Solomon? You just ask. We've talked about this before. If God gave you that opportunity, what would you ask for? Solomon had every person's dream, wasn't it? For God to just say, what would you like me to give you? Well, Solomon said, verse 6, "You've shown unto my father David great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart." And "you've kept for him this great kindness. You have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people, so many here, it says, they cannot be numbered or counted for multitude." And an unknown number of Israelite people under Solomon's reign. And he says here in verse 7, "You know, I'm just a little child." Someone has suggested, there are some who have suggested that Solomon was no more than 20 years old when he became king. King of such a large multitude. And so when he says, "You've made your servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. I don't know how to be a king. Never been a king before." As we look at this, he goes on. Verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding," or my Bible says a hearing heart, an understanding heart. "Give me an ear to listen to the people, so that I can understand what they're needing and wanting. Give me an understanding heart to judge your people, so that I can discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" Verse 10, "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing, and you have not asked for yourself a logical request, such as long life. You didn't ask, give me a long life. Neither did you ask riches for yourself. Nor did you ask for the life of your enemies. But you've asked for yourself an understanding to discern or understand, discern or understand justice. So that I can make wise, right decisions with these people." Verse 12, Behold, God speaking, I have done according to your words. I have given to you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. You're going to be a one of a kind. I've also given you that which you did not ask for. I've given you riches, and I've given you honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you. All the days you will have unexcelled honor and riches. And the Lord threw this in at the end. Now, if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did, then I'm going to lengthen your days, to just throw that in as a little special, a little frosting on top of it all. I'll let you live a good, healthy life if you'll walk in my ways and obey my word. Well, that's the background of the story. We see here, as we think of where we have gone with this, the background, and we've also considered, secondly, his request. For you note takers, I forgot to call this attention to you when we got to verse 9. He admitted, and we find here, I need an understanding, a hearing heart, that I might discern between good and bad. I don't know what to do. I need your help, Lord. The reason, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, we saw it. I am but a little child. I don't know how to go in or come out. He mentions going out or coming in. I don't know how to do that. What does that mean? I don't know how to go out or come in. That's kind of a strange King James term, isn't it? Well, let's see if we can see some. We find, I don't know how to go out or come in. Let's turn to Numbers 27 and see if we can get an answer to that. Numbers 27, and let's begin at verse 12. 27, 12. The Lord said unto Moses, get thee up unto this Mount Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Drop over to verse 15. Then Moses said unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them and which may go in before them. Well, that's what Solomon was saying. I don't know how to go out or come in. And before Moses died, he was asking the Lord to find a man who could go out before the children of Israel and go in before them and do what? And may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. It suggests, as we look at this term, I don't know how to go out or come in. It suggests, first of all, leadership and direction. Leadership and direction. I don't know how to lead these people. And I don't know how to direct them in the way they should be going. Well, we find here in comparison. In 2 Chronicles 1 verse 10, we find here Solomon said, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this, thy people, who are so great?" Well, we've seen the background and we've seen his request. And now we see the reward. We go back to 1 Kings 3. And that reward we looked at in verses 10 through 14. The reward was the fact that Solomon's request, it was pleasing to the Lord. He made a wise choice. Or did he? He certainly had the Lord's favor, because it says right here in verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And the Lord had that dialogue with him, and he said, "You know, you could have asked for this, this, and this, but you didn't. And so I'm going to bless you with what you ask for, and you'll be unexcelled. There won't be anybody that's going to have the wisdom and understanding that I'm going to give to you. And as I said a while ago, I'm going to throw in as a bonus all the things you could have asked me for, but you didn't. I'm just going to throw that in on top of that good request that you made. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you an understanding. You're going to have a reputation unlike any others. People are going to hear about you all over. And if you obey my word, I'm even going to let you live to be a good old age." By the way, what is a good old age? Have you ever found a chapter and verse on that? I don't know what a good old age is. But anyway, that's what the reward was. But let's ask ourselves, number four, were there any regrets? Did Solomon voice any regrets of the choice that he made when God said, "You ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you"? And the Lord said, "It was a good request." And here's what. Did Solomon later on, do we find him writing, "Oh man, I blew it then. I really should have"? Let's look at some of the later writings of Solomon after he had made and experienced the blessings of the requests that he had asked God. For instance, look at Proverbs chapter 3. Why am I looking at Proverbs, anybody? Huh? Who wrote it? Solomon. In Proverbs chapter 3, look at verses 13 through 18. Now let's see if he is regretting his choice. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." This was a man who had unlimited wealth. And what is he saying about wisdom? Wisdom and understanding. She's more precious than fine jewels. All the things that you could desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways, wisdom's ways, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Any regrets from what Solomon wrote? Not a bit were there. Let's go to chapter 8 of Proverbs, and let's maybe he voiced some regrets in chapter 8. Chapter 8 begins, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands at the top of high places, by the way of the places of the paths. She, wisdom, cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of an understanding heart." Verse 10. Wisdom says, receive my instruction, not silver, knowledge, rather than choice gold. Wisdom says, I'm more valuable to you than money. Look at verses 11 and 19. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Any regrets? Nope. About 16:16. Maybe in Proverbs 16:16, he issued some regrets. In 16:16, he says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than silver? Well, what's wrong with gold and silver, somebody might be saying. Who wouldn't like to have a little bit of extra money jingling in your pocket? Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Huh? Solomon. And you know what he wrote about all of the things that money can buy and all the things that money can bring? He had a choice word that he used time and time again. And what was that? It is all what? Vanity. This was the man that had it in his hands. This was the man that God had blessed him with more wealth than any other king. He had anything money could buy, and he had come to the conclusion by the time he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, this is all vanity. This isn't what really counts. But we read in Proverbs 3, Proverbs 8, and in Proverbs 16, what is it that is really of greatest value? It is wisdom and understanding from the Lord. Now, let me just throw out a question here. Is that your attitude? Is that how important God's wisdom is, and understanding what God's word says and what God's will is for your life? Is that more important than getting all kinds of wealth and riches? Are there any lessons to be learned as we, number five, as we bring Solomon's choice kind of to a close here? Are there any lessons to be learned? Solomon is a classic example of a man who knew what was right. He counseled others in his writings with regard to wisdom and understanding. Get it, its value is worth more than money could possibly bring. But Solomon did not follow it in his own life. He had all the right answers. And many times we pride ourselves, I know what God wants me to do. So did Solomon. The Lord had made it very plain to him, even with the promise. By the way, if you follow my ways and my word like your father David did, I'm going to bless you with a good long life. He knew all of the Lord's guidelines with regard to God's continued blessing on his life. But you remember Solomon's life, don't you? This was a man who had the right answers up here, but he didn't put it into his practice down here. Let's turn to a couple of references. 1 Kings 9, 2 to 9. 1 Kings 9, 2 to 9. You see, the Lord actually appeared to Solomon two different times. This, we see, it came to pass when he had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which was he pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I've heard your prayer and your supplication that you made before me. And I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever. My eyes, my heart shall be there perpetually. And if you will walk before me as David your father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded, I will keep my statutes and my judgments, and I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, there shall not fail you a man upon the throne of Israel. But if, you know, if you do what I ask you to do, there'll always be one of your ancestors on the throne. But if you turn from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I've set before you, but you go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I've given them. And this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people. And at this house, which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, look at that. And they'll say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they'll answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and have served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. What's your point, Pastor? My point is, the Lord, the second time when he appeared to Solomon, gave him more details regarding what to expect concerning this place, your kingdom. If you continue to look unto me and obey me, as we sang the last song, what was it? Obedience is the what?
Very best thing.
very best way. Solomon was told that here. He knew it. What did he do with it? Turn two chapters later in 1 Kings to chapter 11. And it tells us, beginning at verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his foreign strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. God told him what would happen. Surely he would do it, right? What's the end of verse 10? But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely rend or tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Notwithstanding, in your days, I will not do it. Not for your sake, Solomon, but for David, your father's sake. But I will rend it out of the hand of your son. I'm not going to do this in your lifetime, but you're going to lose your kingdom because you totally ignored following me and obeying me. Verse 13, howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdoms, but I'm going to give one tribe to thy son David for my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's son in Eden. Is there any warning for us in this? Solomon, what a wise choice he had made. Man, God had given him everything the man could ask for and more, because the choice he made seemed so good. What's the warning for us? We find that the warning for us is that Solomon had the right answers, but he failed to listen to them. And if you want to read Solomon later on in life, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is a follow-up. May we not make the same choice in our lives, in our homes, You say, well, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know how I'm supposed to be living my life. So did Solomon. But when he got old, he allowed his heart to be turned away from the Lord and began to worship other things. May that not be true of a one of us. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the life and example of a very famous man. Boy, nobody had the opportunities like Solomon had. But with all of your blessings, it was not good enough for him to maintain to the end, like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, fought a good fight, finished his course, kept his faith. Not Solomon. We commend him for the choice he made, but we condemn him that later on in life he did not live the truth that he claimed to believe, the truth that he tried to direct to others that would read his writings. He failed to walk in the ways of wisdom and understanding. And foolishly, his life was ruined in the end. Help us take these truths to heart. Dismiss us with your blessing as we go, and I'll thank you and praise you in your name. Amen.